If you turn with me to Romans chapter 12 this morning. Romans chapter 12. Amen. I tell you what, before we read, won't everybody stand and shake about two or three or four people's hands round about you and smile at them real big and say, I'm sure glad to see you. All right, let's appreciate that. How many feels just better all of a sudden? Amen. Okay, feel worse, try it again. No. Romans chapter 12. Let's begin reading. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, amen. You got to kind of watch terms of endearment like that. Brother Brandon, when he got to preaching, if he started saying, honey, somebody's in trouble. I mean, he'd start getting rough. He'd say, honey. And it was a term of endearment, but he was letting us know how it was. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I believe the hinge, the target of all that I read to you is found in verse 11. Paul said, be not slothful in business, here it is, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit. I'll look at that and dwell on that for just a moment in a minute, but from that I want to take the title this morning on hearts boiling hot. Hearts boiling hot. Amen. If one has a heart boiling hot for God, there's going to be some principles he'll follow. There's going to be some attitudes he'll have. And there's going to be some actions that he'll take. And Paul tells us that in this passage. I don't know how you feel, but I want a heart that is on fire for God. There's people burning with a lot of things on the inside, but it's not the fire of God. I want to be burning with the fire of God. Hallelujah. Father, set up our minds to the truth, Lord. Help us to hear your word. May the same spirit that inspired the apostle Paul to pen these words, may that spirit anoint me. Oh, Holy Ghost, take the things of Christ and make them real to us through the preaching of the word. Bless your people. May there be a growing sense of your presence as we preach, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Paul took 11 chapters in Romans to tell us how we are saved. And now he turns his attention to how the saved live. Hallelujah. I believe we need to progress from how we're saved to how the saved live. Amen. Verses 1 and 2, I want to revisit them just to show you again. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My question is, what does that look like? What does it look like to give your body a living sacrifice and not be conformed to this world? Well, Paul is going to tell us what it means and what it looks like to give ourselves wholly to God as a sacrifice. We preached last week, Paul said to give yourself and your body a living sacrifice is to minister to one another within the community of the church. How many knows that the church isn't a place we go? The church is who we are. We're a community and we minister one to another. That was last week. This week, Paul says to give yourself as a living sacrifice means that you live in right relationship with people. Your relationships are right. Don't tell me you're holy if your relationships with people aren't right. Amen. And that's how he turns our attention this morning in the passage that we read. Even I didn't know who she was. You may have known. I had to look it up. Leanne Rimes. How many knew who Leanne Rimes was? Okay, maybe I did. Some like a country and western singer, is that right? Some pop singer. So I didn't know. I just know in the paper this week it said Leanne Rimes says that her affair with Eddie Cibrian. Someone help me out. It don't matter. I just want to get what she says. He's another famous person or infamous person. Leanne Rimes said her affair with Eddie, while she was still married to another man, doesn't define her and she has no regrets. And here's her quote. Listen to me. Here's her quote. What happened? Have you ever noticed they act like an affair and adultery and everything? It's something like a car wreck. It was just inevitable. What happened is not who I am, period. I committed adultery. I wrecked my message. I may wreck my message, but I wrecked my marriage. But what happened is not who I am, period. That's a quote. I'll have Leanne Rimes know how we live is who we are. How many believes that? How we live is who we are. The key to these verses I read is in verse 11. Look at verse 11 again. Paul said, not slothful in business. Now, for those of you that like finances and things and text about working hard, I'm sorry to disappoint you. But here, this is a hard word to get at, but the word business here does not have anything to do with economic transactions. It's more in the line of mind your own business, which means take care of what you're responsible for. Business here is busyness. It's one is busy with what interests and what consumes him. Amen. I believe we should take our duties as something that's important, that urgently needs to be done. But this word business literally means, amen, not to be slothful, means don't be hesitant. And business literally means zeal. And so Paul says here, don't be hesitant in having zeal. Don't be hesitant of having a sense of urgency to do what you're supposed to be doing. Oddly, I thought about Sister Ferguson in my home church. I've told you this before. She was one of those saints that loved to worship. I have literally seen times when the song director got up. You know how it is starting song service? Well, let's see here tonight. Find the bent page. We're going to sing page. I don't remember the page. I remember what she did. But we're going to sing page 312. Sister Ferguson would jump up. Didn't even open the book. She'd jump up and say, that's I'll Fly Away. Woo! We hadn't even started singing. He just announced the page number. I'll tell you why she did it. Her heart was on fire for God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, she was not hesitant in showing zeal. Let's look at the last part of this verse. Fervent in spirit. I got all excited when I studied the word fervent. Literally, in the original language, fervent means hot to the point of boiling. Hot to the point of boiling over, serving the Lord. How does Paul say we're to serve the Lord, Brother Wilson? He said we're to serve the Lord that we're so hot, we're about to boil over in our spirits. I don't know how you feel, but revive us again. I'd like to leave this house where my heart is so hot for God, it's about to boil over as I serve the Lord. Not just in a good service, amen, but next week, amen, in my everyday duties, I'm on fire to God, for God, and my heart is about to boil over. That's how we're to serve the Lord. Not in apathy, Brother Tim, as you preach, not in indifference, but we are to be serving the Lord filled with zeal and fire and passion and urgency just to do what God would have us do. Can you say amen? Oh, God, set our hearts aflame. Amen. We had one of those Bible school teachers. Don't make fun of older folks. You become just like them. We used to get so upset as teenage students because he'd get in class and he'd tell us the same stories over and over and over again. No one around here does that. Amen. But he did. But I've learned to be thankful for those that tell stories over and over and over because that's how you remember. But he'd tell this little story. He got saved. He was a farmer. He got saved up in years out there in the farmhouse. But he talked about after he got saved, brought his family into it. He had two sons. One of his little sons one night came down dressed for bed and he had on these bright red pajamas. And the teacher would talk about how he'd say, picture this with me. He said, here he came down the stairs dressed from toe to up to his head with red pajamas. And he said, look, Dad, I'm red hot for Jesus. Look, Dad, I'm red hot for Jesus. Amen. That's just a silly little story. Not silly, I shouldn't say, but just a light little story. But I'm telling you, what God wants us to do is not serve Him half-heartedly and apathetically and complacently. God wants to serve Him red hot for Jesus. Would you like to serve Him red hot for Jesus? I'm going to ask you a question this morning with myself sitting on the pew. Would you consider your relationship with God on fire? Is your relationship with God red hot? Is your relationship with God about to boil over? You see, here's the thing. Many times when we speak of being on fire for God, we're talking about someone with expressive worship. They shout, they worship, being on fire for God. We talk about someone that has taken on extra convictions, and they're on fire for God, on fire for God. We talk about someone that is excited about ministry, on fire for God. We talk about somebody that's making sacrifices for the kingdom, on fire for God. We talk about somebody that's witnessing, they're vocal about their faith. And yes, don't get me wrong, please hear me, all those things can be and are signs that one is on fire for God. But listen what Paul said. He said, I want you to be on fire for God, serving the Lord. He doesn't mention convictions. He doesn't mention ministry. He doesn't mention expressive worship. He doesn't mention making sacrifices. He said, I want you to be on fire for God. What does he mention? Loving without hypocrisy. Loving your enemy. Doing good to your brother. Being in right relationship with others. In other words, Paul said, when you really get on fire for God, it'll show in your relationship. Not with just your brother and sister, but even the world around you and even your enemy will notice something's different in your heart. We're going to look at these scriptures. If one has a heart that's boiling hot for God, there'll be principles that he follows. There'll be attitudes that he'll have, and there'll be actions that he'll take. We're going to go through this quickly, but it's important that we stick right with the verses in the scripture. First of all, Paul said there are some principles to follow. Look at verse 9. He says, let love be without dissimulation. I'm going to say the Greek word, I'll just say it with English sounds. Dissimulation in the Greek is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Hypocrito. Amen. Without dissimulation is without hypocrisy. You know what Paul just said? One cannot have a heart on fire for God and not have genuine love in his heart. Amen. You can talk about being on fire for God, but if you don't love God, if you don't love his house, if you don't love his people, if you don't love his word, if you don't love the unsaved around you, you have no fire of God in your heart. Love without hypocrisy. These are principles for living right. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. If we get these principles down, everything else will fall in place. People want to split hairs about how far here, how far there, do this or not do this. I'm telling you, if you'll get a heart on fire for God and keep these three principles, you won't have to worry about anything else. Love without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. They're principles that a hot heart lives by. To be on fire for God is to be so overwhelmed with his love for me that overflows, and I feel compelled to love my God. I feel compelled to love my neighbor. I feel compelled to love others. Ever true revival was marked by this characteristic. People felt their hearts overflowing with love. Love for God. Love for others. We used to sing, give me this old time religion. Remember that? Give me this old time religion. We got to one of the verses of it, and we'd say, makes you love everybody. Makes you love everybody. I've seen folks on the outs get in an altar, pray through, get the Holy Ghost moving in their heart, and when they jumped up, they found the one they had ought against or had ought against, and they hugged their neck, and they were overflowing. Oh God, give us a revival of love. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. You get the fire, you'll get a love. Not a fake love, not a dissimulate love, but a genuine love. And then he said, the next principle is abhor that which is evil. Listen to me, all over the building. One cannot have a heart on fire for God and not at the same time have a disdain and a revulsion to the evil of one's heart and the evil in which one lives. Don't tell me you love God when you also love the world. The great Apostle John said, you can't love the Father and love the world at the same time. If I'm halfway preaching the truth, just shout amen. Amen. Abhor that which is evil. Listen, I'm not saying anyone here does, but I am alarmed when we live in a world, in a time when Christians defend the witchcraft of Harry Potter. They defend the vampires of Twilight. They defend the vileness and filth of S in the City. They defend the carnality of such shows as Dancing with the Stars. And say, well, that's all right. I've just got a litmus test here. Get your heart on fire for God and sit down and see if you can watch that without a revulsion coming in your heart saying, I don't like that and I don't like what it does to people. I'm telling you, when a person gets a hot heart for God about to boil over. They find things like I just mentioned repulsive. They hate the evil that is glorified in shows like that, and they hate the evil that it does to people. Amen. There's been those who have committed suicide because of all those vampire shows and all of that. You say, Pastor Hurst, that's unnecessary to preach against that. That is just an illustration. If you really love God, you won't be defending evil. You won't be standing up for the world's ways. There'll be something in your heart that'll say, that is repulsive to me. I want what is holy. I want what is righteous. I want what is pure. Look what that does to people. Look at the ruin it leaves in its wake. Oh, nobody that served God ends up with that. Then the next principle is cleave to that which is good. All through the Bible you find these two together. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And I believe you find them together because you can't do the one without the other. You cannot really love good without hating evil. And you can't really hate evil without loving good. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to get on any rabbit trail here. I just feel the Spirit prompt me here. Amen. A lot of people come in and they want salvation and they pray and they say they want deliverance, but they never get deliverance. And you know what the reason is? They never really let God work in their heart until they hated that thing that they needed the victory over. Amen. If you need deliverance from pornography, step number one is get your heart so on fire for God that you hate pornography. If you need freedom from drugs or alcohol, let God set your heart aflame so that you detest alcohol and everything it does to people and does to children. Don't give me this. I mean, Christians are defending everything. Drink a little bit. Recreational drugs. Go open up the fellowship hall. Let's have a dance. I'm just telling you, if hearts were on fire for God, they wouldn't find that stuff attractive. They would find it repulsive because of the ruin and the wreck that it leaves in people's lives. Well, hallelujah. You say, I don't like that. Get your heart on fire for God and you'll shout, amen, hallelujah. We've had enough of that. We've left Egypt. We're headed for a better place. They go together. It's not just society, but the church as well has surrendered all that is good. The statistics slipped my mind, but how many heard this week? I'll get pretty close. It was in the 40% of Americans that now find that marriage is irrelevant. Good is mocked and ridiculed. Purity in young people kept for marriage is laughed at and scorned. Marriage is belittled. Serving God is belittled. Right here in our area, we have a local Lutheran church. It's about to split over the acceptance of homosexual clergy. How many knows that? That wasn't really what disturbed me about the whole story. Here's what disturbed me. The man sent in as a moderator, Bishop Holloway. I quote, here it is. My source is the Dayton Daily News. But I'm quoting him. Here it is. Here's what Bishop Holloway said about it. I love the church. Praise God. You ought to. I love the church. I'm not going to tear it apart over who sleeps with whom. He can stand there and say, I love the church. I love the church. I love the church. But the moment he said, it's not an issue who sleeps with whom, he just said, I love the church, but I don't hate evil. And Paul says, that's not a heart hot for God. Because when you love good, you're going to hate evil. You say, you're mean. No, sir. No, sir. We're not talking about hating people. We're talking about hating the sin that destroys the people. And if I love the church, then I'm going to take this book. And if the book says it's evil, I'm going to say it's evil. Amen. Amen. When I read that, I love the church, but I'm not going to tear it apart over who sleeps with whom. I just took the paper like this and I went, huh? If you really love the church, You'd make a stand against evil. Because the church can't really be the church if it's embracing evil. No, sir. Oh, I want the real thing, don't you? You say you're knocking other religions. No, I'm not. I'm preaching a principle that if you love the good, you'll hate the evil. And if you hate the evil, you see, the reason they can't hate evil because nothing's evil anymore. You got to be told that some things are evil before you can hate it. But I believe it's beyond that. I believe if you really get God in your heart, no one will have to stand here and say, oh, don't do that. That's bad, 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 bad. If you really get God in your heart, I mean, because you're acquainted with Him, because you know the touch of His Spirit, you'll look at that and say, ugh, yuck, I don't want to have it. You say, well, I used to do it before I got saved. It doesn't matter. I used to like it before I got saved. It don't matter. If you get full of God, the God in you will say, that's yicky. I don't want to have, oh, I've got to go on. Amen. We're not hating people because He started with love without dissimulation. To hate evil and to love people are not contrary one to another. Amen. If your heart is hot with God, there are principles to follow. Secondly, there are attitudes. There are attitudes to have. When I'm on fire for God, it will affect my attitude. Number one, it will affect my attitude towards my brothers and sisters. Be ye kindly, verse 10, affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Amen. That's an interesting word. Kindly affection is the word they use for family love. I'm not going into all that, but the Greek has four words for love, and brotherly kindly affection is the word for family love. Paul literally says, have family love one to another. And he says, he specifies, he said, I'm talking about that brotherly love. I want you to know we're not all perfect. At least I'm not. We got problems. We have troubles. We have disagreements. We have differences of opinions. But Paul said, be ye kindly affectionate one to another. You may disagree with your brother, your sister. You may not like what they have done. But if you really got your heart on fire for God, you will show them without hypocrisy kindly affections. How many knows we are a family? This church is a family. Amen. We're to have brotherly love. And I'll tell you something about families. Families, amen, stick up for one another. Families stick it out during troubles. Families work through the problems and the differences. Families put up with the faults of its members. But he said, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In the family of God, there should be no cliques. There should be no excluding anyone. There should be no you say, preach some holiness, pastor. And we're tired of that. I'm telling you, this is holiness. We leave nobody out. We can include everybody. We don't have a clique. We're just one singular family of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm talking about an attitude to our brothers and sisters. If our hearts are hot, then it'll affect our attitude towards difficulty. Our attitude towards difficulty. Next verse, 12, rejoicing in hope. If your heart gets hot with God, amen, this simply means you'll have cheerful expectation about the future. I want to say it again, rejoicing in hope, cheerful expectation about the future, patient in tribulation. The word patient, two words, means to bear up under, and tribulation, wherever you read that, comes from the word pressure. Anybody here ever experienced pressure? He didn't say if your heart is hot with God, you'll have no pressure. He said if your heart is hot with God, you'll have pressure, but you'll bear up under it. Oh, hallelujah. Folks are quitting over any and everything. But Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. I can look across this building, and many of you are great examples of what I'm talking about. Bearing up under pressure. It just happens to be the one I saw move was Joyce Northern. Comes ever service with pain in her body. Amen. Has to stand and set drastic things wrong. Amen. But she's got her hands in the air. Amen. She's a worshiping God. What's she doing? She's a bearing up under the pressure, and she has a cheerful expectation about the future. Continuing instant in prayer. That simply means never give up on praying. When my heart is hot for God, I never give up on praying. praying. Amen. You can say you're being quick to judge. I'm not judging. It's just an observation. When people quit praying in service, when people quit visiting the altar, when people quit praying during the prayer times, there's only one conclusion. Their heart is not hot with God. But if your heart's about to boil over, amen, you'll never give up on praying. Things aren't happening. You'll pray again. No answer's coming. You'll pray again. I'm going to keep, oh, hallelujah. I've got a cheerful expectation of the future. I'm bearing up under the pressure, and I'm just going to keep on praying until I make it. That's the attitude towards difficulty. When our hearts grow cold, we become discouraged and depressed and disillusioned and soured by even the smallest of problems. But when our hearts are hot, we go through it. And then, if our hearts are hot, it will affect our attitude towards our enemies. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. I want to say this. Even if you view our president as a political enemy, even if you oppose his policy, you should not say bad things about the man. Disagree with his policies. Delineate why you're against the policies. But the minute a Christian starts saying bad things that attacks the person himself, he's not following Jesus' words to bless them. Be kind to those you consider making caustic remarks. Feel vitriol. That should never be the... You say, pastors, you've grown soft. You talk to me about what I really believe on the side about some of these issues. You'll find that it's not soft. I believe God's principles should be in government too. Amen. But Christians don't attack people. Amen. Well, that got really quiet. I didn't even have my glasses on. And that came right back. Amen. You may have been done wrong by somebody, but Jesus said, don't wish them harm. Wish them well. I don't know if I can do that. You can if you got God at work in your heart. Because He did it. He looked at those, Sister Wilson, that were attempting to divide His garment and gamble over it. And He said, Father, those that had nailed Him to the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. Did he not do it? Why should I do that for them? They've done me wrong. You're not really doing it for them. You're doing it, first of all, for the Lord. And secondly, you're doing it for yourself. God knows if we hold bitterness and anger at those that do us wrong, it does nothing but destroy us. And they go on their merry way, continuing their evil. Amen. If you want to be set free, get filled with the love of God. And your attitude towards your enemies will change. It'll affect, I want to revisit this, our attitude towards our brothers and sisters, verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Low estate. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. That be of the same mind means think of others as you think of yourself. It doesn't mean that Brother Rose and I are thinking the same thing, but it's telling me to be of the same mind to him that I am to myself. I'm to think of Brother Rose and put him first just like I would myself. To be of the same mind is to want for others what I would want for myself. If I wanted to be treated warmly, amen, I'm going to treat other people warmly. I get in trouble when I get off script sometime. I'm thinking about years ago, nobody will know who I'm talking about. But there's been an individual that had been coming to this church for several years. And my wife was shaking hands one night. And this individual spoke up and said, this is the most unfriendly church I've ever been in. And Sandra looked at him because people heard. She looked at him and said, well, I've never seen you going around shaking anybody's hand. Way to go, sister. What did Paul say? He said, if you want to be treated warmly, you treat others warmly. Oh, hallelujah. I'm preaching what it means to give your body a living sacrifice. You got a headache, but you smile at the individual and say, I love you, brother. Amen. I'm thinking about others. I'm putting others first. Amen. I don't seek a high position. I'm not minding high things. Church isn't about how big a position I can get, but I like condescending to men of low estate. I've seen our people do that all over and over. It's not when we think ourselves better, but it's people that are in trouble. They're in a lower estate because of the trouble they're in. They come in, they may be an alcoholic and smell of alcoholism. They may reek of sin, but they come to an altar. Amen. And folks will come out of the pew, gather in behind them, lay hands on them, and pray that God would save them. Why? Amen. We're just not after trying to see the mayor saved. He needs to be saved. But it's whosoever will. Amen. We're not stuck up here. Amen. We're willing, amen, to reach whomever. Amen. I remember Brother Branham again. What an impact on me. We'd have the big meeting convocation. A lot of, quote unquote, I'm putting that in quotes, big name preachers seeking an audience with Brother Branham. And you'd see him throughout that hall. He'd be talking to some child from the church. He'd be talking to some new student from OBI. He'd be talking to this not so clean man that one of the men had invited from work and brought him in. He wasn't going around trying to see whom he could talk. Have you ever been with someone, amen, you were talking to them and you could tell they didn't think you was very important because the whole time they was talking to you, they were looking over your shoulder to see if there was someone more important they wanted to get to. Man, I've done killed the spirit. I might start seeing it couldn't be any worse. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, if you got a right, if your heart's on fire for God, amen. You condescend to men of low estate. Let's go on. Last of all, it affects our attitude towards others. Verse 16, be not wise in your own conceit. Don't be thinking of yourself as someone important, deserving of respect, someone to be noted. There's an old Filipino proverb that says, the higher the bamboo grows, the lower it bows down. It ought to be that way with Christians. The higher the position, the more humble. Hallelujah. The higher the bamboo grows, the lower it bows down. Amen. One man went to visit Abraham Lincoln when he was in the White House, and they walked in there to the room he's at. I hope I don't have holes in my socks. He did that once years ago. My big toe was sticking out. They walked in. Abraham Lincoln was polishing his shoes. And the man looked at him. Here's the president polishing his shoes. And the man said, do you mean you polish your own shoes? And Abraham Lincoln looked up and said, well, whose do you polish? Hallelujah. Oh, be not wise in your own conceit. Amen. Someone on fire for God will not be full of self. Quite the opposite. The Bible said it's the backslider in heart that is filled with his own ways. If all you can think about is what kind of song you like and how long you want something to be and how you like it, it's all, the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. Get your heart on fire for God. You're not thinking about how hungry your stomach is. You're thinking there's someone across the building that needs to be saved this morning. And oh, God will just save him. Amen. Last of all, when my heart is on fire for God, it'll affect the actions that I practice. And I'll go through these quickly, but let's read what Paul says. First of all, it'll affect our actions towards our brothers and sisters. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. I believe when my heart is on fire for God, I am eager to give. Amen. If a person says their heart is on fire for God and they spend $20 on a plate of food at the restaurant and put $1 in the missions offering, their heart is not hot for God. I'm telling you, when our hearts are hot with God, we hear that someone's out of work, they're struggling, and we find ourselves giving a Pentecostal handshake, not so anyone can see. I'm just telling you, when your heart gets on fire for God, amen, you'll distribute to the necessity of the saints. You'll be given to hospitality. Hallelujah. Given to hospitality. We talk about how God will judge our nation for sins like homosexuality, but we need to be reminded, not caring for the needy, the hungry, assassinating someone's character through gossip, all of those are sins too. But when my heart is hot for God, amen, I am going to act right towards the needs of my brothers and sisters. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Amen. If I'm having a rough time, it's hard to be happy when someone else has become fortunate. When I don't have a job, it's hard to be excited about Brother Josh getting a job. Oh, but Paul said you may not have got your job yet. But if Josh gets his job, rejoice with him. Hallelujah. And he weep with those that weep. It's hard to weep about somebody else's trouble. They've told you about it. They said they're in debt $5,000 and they're wanting you to weep with them and you're in debt $10,000. It's hard to weep with others when you've got your own troubles and difficulties. But Paul said when your heart is hot with God, you'll not only rejoice with him that rejoice, you'll weep with those that weep. And again, I think of Brother Branham. I was already teaching, but I had a heavy problem. I went over to the parsonage. I began to talk to him and share my heart. And I looked up at him, Brother Brock, and Brother Branham, as I was telling him, he was sitting there weeping and wiping the tears. Oh, what a pastor. Oh, what a pastor. I'm just telling you, even that's how God wants all his children to be. We're not caught up in ourselves. Oh, when someone else has a problem, we're concerned. I'm talking about having a revival right here. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Then our actions towards all people. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide the things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible. I'm glad he put that in there, because there's some folks you can do everything and they refuse to get along with you. How many know it's that? Oh, I wish I had time. I'd tell you a funny story there, but probably good I don't have time. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know what this simply means in quick summary? Don't respond in kind. Don't try to get back. Don't hit back. Don't say they didn't invite me. I'm not going to invite them. Don't say they didn't talk to me. I'm not going to talk to them. Don't say they didn't include me. I'm not going to include them. He said, provide things honest in the sight of all men. That literally means look for the beauty in each person. Look for the beauty in each person. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Not your wrath, God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. People do us wrong. I want to ask across the congregation, how many here has never been done wrong by someone? Please lift your hand. Say, nobody has ever done me wrong. Brother Wilson, everybody in the house has been. I'm not minimizing anybody's hurt. I'm not saying what I've been through is what you've gone through. I'm just saying everybody's been done wrong. But the apostle says, let God take care of it. Let him handle it. You don't get angry. You let God get angry. And believe me, right now God's got arms of love and grace extended. But one day God is going to show his anger. You won't hear that today, but it's in the book. You don't get angry. You let God show his anger. Don't try to get even. Don't try to get back. Amen. I also read the paper this week, again in our area. Amen. How many read this? There was a man. His name was Scott Lane. He was a plumber and a runner. He was out driving his motorcycle, riding his motorcycle. And a woman named Amber Schwartz was on drugs in her vehicle. She crossed the center line. She hit Scott. He had all kinds of injuries, but they had to amputate his leg. He went to her court, her trial, and there when it came time for sentencing, the victim minus a leg, he asked to be heard, and he pled with the judge that he wouldn't send the woman that took his leg, wouldn't send her to prison. Even he was concerned for her. He said, she's got 3 children, and going to prison, is it going to help her? It won't grow my leg back. She can be cured of drugs, but I can't grow another leg back. back. If you send her to prison, it's going to be bad for her children. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but he illustrated some God love right there. And the judge, Judge Ruhlman, said, I don't find that very often where our victim has that much compassion. Here's a man that lost his leg. It changed his life. He'll never be a runner again. He'll never be able to work like he worked. And he's pleading for the one that on drugs by irresponsibility took his leg. And yet he pled, don't send her to prison. I know you may have arguments on that. Keep her from hurting someone else and all that. That's not the point. The point is, he illustrated something. Let God take care of it. He showed a compassion. When my heart is hot with the love of God, even someone may do me wrong, but I don't want to see them get wrong. I want to see them get right. Hallelujah. I want to see God bless them. I want to see them make heaven. Hallelujah. Would you come, music, verse 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You know, Bible scholars have studied this, and this is as close as I can get. Back in those times, they didn't have matches, and they didn't have those little things with butane in them, those lighters. If you didn't keep your fire going from the previous day's fire, your fire went out. And so here we are in the village. For some reason, your enemy, his fire's gone out. He don't have a way of starting his fire. But he comes to your house and says, my fire's gone out. Could I borrow some coals to get my fire started? You give him some coals in the basin. And how did they carry things back then? Those big pots and stuff, they carried them on their heads. I hope he had the sense to put some kind of buffer in between. But anyway, they put coals in the vessel, put it on top of the head. You shouldn't have done it. He's your enemy. You shouldn't have been him. But can you imagine as he walked home and felt the warmth, knowing that his enemy helped him out in the time of trouble? That get to working on him, that would had to touch his heart. Even that his very enemy, you heap coals of fire. Other people like to interpret that. That means you'll really let him have it sometime or the other. Or God will know he's talking about being kind. Listen, I know one instance personally, and I've read about it. And another, a woman, a Christian woman, her husband lost, going out every night and committing adultery with another woman. The woman I'm thinking about, knowing her husband was going to go out and commit adultery, went and got his clothes out of the closet, ironed them and laid them out on the bed and put supper on the table, praying the whole time that God would save him. You see, I couldn't do that. No, that's not just human. That's God at work in the human. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. She kept praying and showing kindness. And one day it got to him. It heaped coals of fire on his head. And he couldn't take it any longer. And he got saved and quit his infidelity. And she's got a faithful husband tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's ways were. The world says, get even, get back. Oh, God says, love him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many wants to really give your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable? It's in our relation to others. Would you stand? I love reading history. Years ago in the American Revolutionary War, in the town of Ephrata, Pennsylvania, there was a Baptist pastor, Peter Miller, who also happened to be a friend of General George Washington. There was another man in town. His name was Michael Whitman. Michael Whitman hated the Baptist pastor. Went out of his way to cause him trouble in the community. Every chance he get, he did Pastor Miller wrong. Mr. Whitman did. Mr. Whitman was charged with treason, loyalty to Britain. Tried for treason. Condemned to die. Pastor Peter Miller walked 70 miles to the camp where George Washington was in Philadelphia. Because he was a friend of George Washington, they let him in. Peter Miller began to plead and say, Mr. General, he wasn't president yet. General Washington, I'm begging you that you would pardon Michael Whitman. He's been condemned to die. General Washington looked at Pastor Miller. He said, just because the man's your friend, I can't pardon him. Peter Miller looked at General Washington and said, you don't understand something. He's not my friend. He's the bitterest enemy. He's the worst enemy that I have. And General Washington said, that changes everything. If you are pleading for his case, pleading for his life, and he's your enemy, I'm going to pardon that man. They let Michael Whitman out of prison. He walked the 70 miles back to Ephrata with Pastor Miller, had a new friend. You say, I can't do that. Well, before you say that, I know someone that did do that. We were condemned to die. We were condemned to the awfulest penalty of judgment. We took every opportunity to do that which flew in the face of God. We were his enemy. And yet he came and pled for our life. Aren't you glad God's like that? I said, we were the enemies of God, and he pled. Father, pardon them. He'll do it this morning. He'll do it. If you don't know Christ, amen, come and pour out your heart to God. He'll pardon you. You'll get up a friend of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray all over the building. Would you lift your hands and just thank him for the work of grace? Oh, come on, let's thank him. I thank you, Lord, for the work of grace. I thank you, Lord, for the work of grace. I thank you, Lord, for the work of grace. Oh, I want to give myself, my body, a living sacrifice, holy.